work. You'll remember that this is one of the ordinances that had its origins with the Land Use Reform Working Group that convened in 2025 and culminated with their report in October 2025. And then since then, you know, obviously there's been a lot of presentations to council and discussions and refinements and public hearings where we've heard from all aspects of the public, including the forest industry and the developers and the public. And now, based on the last meeting that we had at council, I think we're to the point where we're ready to act on it based on the discussions we had at the last meeting. I don't know, Mr. Lawson, if you have anything you'd like to add to that.
That frames it fairly well, and I would say we sent you home with a lot of homework. The documents are at your desk right now if you'd like to reference them. Three documents there that Mr. Robertson will walk through. The original document, the document with the amendments inside of it, and then the motions that you may want to follow as well. So that's all I have to say, and good luck.
Thanks. So as Mr. Lawson said, there is the original introduced ordinance. And in the motions I'm going to read, the line numbers relate to the ordinances as it was introduced. There was also a version of the ordinance that was provided to you by Mr. Lawson that has the language of the motions embedded into it, with the new language in yellow and the deleted language highlighted in blue. That's for informational sake. That's going to be hard to follow today because the numbers won't line up. As soon as we started adding text, it threw off all the numbers. So what I had planned to do, frankly, was because we did have a fairly robust discussion with several, but then last meeting got clear direction from you all at Mr. Lawson's presentation about what those motions would be. So I think the first thing I need to do just to tee this up, Mr. Moore, is to read the short title.
That is correct.
Okay. It's ordinance number 26-05, an ordinance to amend Chapter 99, Article 1, 3, and 5, Section 99-5, definitions, Section 99-21A, perimeter buffers, and Section 99-26, information to be shown, and Chapter 115, Articles 1, 25, and 28, Sections 115-4, definitions and word usage, and 115-221, final site plan requirements, and by adding new section 115-194.8, forest preservation, and 115-194.9, tree planting requirements. So with that, what I'd like to do is start reading the motions to amend the introduced ordinance. Recall that we're going to have to do one motion for each amendment, get it second, voted on, then we'll move to the next one, and then hopefully at the end we'll have a vote on the ordinance as amended. So with that, bear with me. The first motion is, be it moved that the introduced ordinance be amended at line 44 to insert a new whereas clauses as follows. Whereas forests and woodland resources within Sussex County provide essential ecological, economic, and public health benefits to the residents of the county, including watershed protection, stormwater management, carbon sequestration, air quality improvement, habitat for native wildlife, and contribution to the rural character and scenic quality of the county, and whereas the watersheds, water bodies, and tidal waters of Sussex County depend significantly on riparian and upland forest cover for water quality protection, nutrient sediment filtration, and stream bank stabilization, and whereas mature forests and forest interior habitats support native biodiversity, including migratory birds, native pollinators, and other wildlife dependent on connected forest landscape, and whereas the establishment of clear, predictable standards for forest preservation and tree replacement serve the public interest by providing certainty to property owners, developers, and the public regarding the Sussex County's expectations for land-disturbing activities, and those four whereases are baked into the whereases that exist in the ordinance already.
Okay, pleasure of council on motion number one.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Ms. Grunebaum.
Second.
Second, Mr. McCarron. Are there any questions? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron.
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd.
Yes.
Ms. Grunebaum.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carries.
The second motion is regarding the definition of forest, and recall that we had gone through this in several iterations and put it on the screen last meeting. So this follows that language. So the second motion is, be it moved that the introduced ordinance be amended at sections 1 and 4, lines 61 and 453 regarding section 99-5 and 115-4 definitions to delete the introduced definition of forest and replace it with the following one. forest, a vegetative community dominated by trees and other woody plants, colon, little line parentheses, covering a land area of 1 acre or greater, semicolon, and little line parentheses, II parentheses, having a width of at least 120 feet at any point, parentheses, measured from the canopy drip line, close parentheses, semicolon, and three little eyes of parentheses, having at least 100 trees per acre, parentheses, excluding invasive species, close parentheses, with at least 50% of those having a 4-inch or greater diameter at 4.5 feet above the ground, semicolon, little IV in parentheses, or larger areas with trees meeting the foregoing requirements that have been cut, but neither stumps were removed nor land regraded. Active tree nurseries or orchards shall not be considered a forest.
Okay, pleasure of council on motion number 2.
Move to adopt.
Motion, Mr. Lloyd.
You know, there's been a lot of discussion about this, and my concern, and I've shared it with a lot of people, not only are you defining a forest, you're defining what you see when somebody calls it a forest and what the product type is. And that's where some of the disagreements come from. But what I don't want to see is a screening ordinance or forest use in ways that I don't view as a forest. You know, this also will determine what we see as the finished product. And I think that's important. And I second that motion.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any questions? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron?
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd?
Yes.
Ms. Grunebaum?
So there are aspects of this that I would have written differently, let's put it that way, but I accept the what we have here, and I will vote yes.
Okay, Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried.
Okay, the third one, recall we talked about this. Currently, there's perimeter buffer requirements for subdivisions in Section 99-20A. In the introduced ordinance, we replaced the term woodlands with the new definition of forest. And as there were modifications made to things, we realized that making that change upended things in the perimeter buffer requirements and whether they could count towards forest later on. So this basically undoes that change in the introduced ordinance. So it's a fairly short motion. Be it moved that the introduced ordinance be amended at Section 2, lines 93 to 425 regarding Section 99-21A, perimeter buffers, to delete all replacements of, quote, woodlands, close quote, with, quote, forest, close quote, as set forth in the introduced ordinance, so that Section 99-21A continues to refer to, quote, woodlands, close quote. All other amendments to Section 99-21A, as shown in the introduced ordinance, shall remain.
Okay. Pleasure of council on motion number 3.
Move to adopt.
Motion, Mr. Lloyd.
Second.
Second, Mr. McCarron. Are there any questions? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron?
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd?
Yes.
Ms. Grunebaum?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you. The fourth motion dealt with some feedback that we got during the public hearing process about codifying the requirement to add a landscape plan to the final site plan, which is something the Planning and Zoning Commission routinely does anyway. And so this section, like the rest of it, makes sense to do. It just makes it clear that everybody has to do this, and it's not just an ad hoc condition that's part of an approval. So motion number 4 is, be it moved that the introduced ordinance be amended at Section 3, line 440, to add a new subpart 24 to Section 99-26, information to be shown to require a landscape plan as follows, and in parentheses 24, a landscape plan showing all vegetation to be preserved or planted throughout the subdivision. This landscape plan may incorporate the information required by 16 in parentheses and 21 in parentheses, as well as the perimeter buffer landscape plan.
Okay, pleasure of council on motion number 4.
Move to adopt, but we have a question.
Okay, motion, Mr. Riley.
Second.
Second, Ms. Grunebaum. Okay, Mr. Riley, you had a question.
Why did you choose to say may versus shall?
Because those are, for, you're talking about the landscape plan, right. May incorporate.
Landscape plan may incorporate.
Those are separate requirements. So in other words, you still have to do them. It's whether you do them all in one sheet or you do the requirements for subpart 16 on a sheet, subpart 21 on a sheet, and the perimeter buffer landscape plan on a separate sheet. In other words, you could just combine them all into one sheet of the plan set. Not that it, because those are separate requirements, so it's not making them discretionary. It's just whether you want
to. That's really my question.
Yeah, no, right. That's a fair point. So.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. Are there any questions? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron?
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd?
Yes.
Ms. Grunebaum?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
The fifth motion is to establish a purpose clause or paragraph for the forest preservation, the new forest preservation requirements of the new section 115-194.8. This was sort of inherent, I think, in the land use reform working group's sort of preamble paragraph in the report, and it was always implied in this, but I think to have it stated sets the right tone for the rest of the ordinance, and also when we get to the mitigation requirements, this gives some context to the purpose of the ordinance in terms of waivers. So this motion is, be it moved that the introduced ordinance be amended at Section 5, Line 480, to insert a new paragraph at the beginning of Section 115-194.8, Forest Preservation, to establish the purpose of forest preservation as follows. The purpose of this section is to protect, preserve, and enhance the forest resources of Sussex County in recognition of the substantial public benefits that forested land provides, including stormwater management, groundwater recharge, flood mitigation, wildlife habitat, air and water quality protection, and scenic and recreational value, and to ensure that land development activities minimize the unnecessary loss of forest cover.
Okay, pleasure of council on motion number 5.
Move to adopt.
Motion, Ms. Grunewald.
Second.
Second, Mr. McCarron. Any questions? And then we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron?
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd?
Yes.
Ms. Grunewald?
Yes.
Ms. Riley?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Okay, the next two motions deal with whether pre-existing woodlands in the perimeter buffer can count towards the forest preservation percentages in the growth area and the rural area. The way this is worded, as we discussed, pre-existing woodlands in the growth area can count towards the forest preservation requirements in the growth area. They cannot count towards the forest preservation percentage requirements in the rural area. But also, because it talks about pre-existing woodlands, remembering that we're keeping that term woodlands from that prior motion that we did, means that it has to be pre-existing trees. It can't be the perimeter buffer that's replanted. That would not count towards the forest board. Yeah. So this motion number 6 deals with the growth area. Be it moved that the introduced ordinance be amended at Section 5 regarding Section 115-194.8 Forest Preservation at Line 508 to insert a new sentence at the end of Subpart B, parentheses 1, parentheses A, confirming that existing trees in a perimeter buffer may count towards the forest preservation calculations in the growth area as follows. And the new sentence at the end of that paragraph in the ordinance is, pre-existing woodlands located in the perimeter buffer shall be included in this percentage.
Okay, pleasure of council on motion number 6.
Just one question.
Sure.
this would mean that all the requirements for the perimeter buffer with regard to width pertain, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's correct.
Right. This doesn't reduce or impact that at all.
It's right.
Okay,
and it doesn't, we don't use the word contiguous to the forests here. In other words,
right. No, that's true. If it's a perimeter buffer,
so it's just a stand of trees that we're allowing to be
in the growth area.
Yeah.
Well, right. I mean, there is, so unrelated to this, there are other places that talk about contiguous forests. I mean, that is the spirit design criteria Mr. Whitehouse talked about. We also talk about that in the introduced ordinance, that's where I think Mr. Lawson had a slide that showed how we want to preserve forest next to contiguous forest, separate and apart from the perimeter buffer. So it's handled not directly through this, but elsewhere.
Okay. Pleasure of council.
Motion to approve.
Motion, Mr. McCarron.
Second.
Second, Mr. Lloyd. Any questions? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron.
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd.
Yes.
Ms. Grunewald.
No.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
The next one is the opposite of the one we just did, that confirms that pre-existing woodlands in the perimeter buffer do not count towards the forest preservation percentage in the rural area. So this motion is, be it moved that the introduced ordinance be amended at Section 5 regarding Section 115-194.8 Forest Preservation at Line 516 to insert a new sentence at the end of Subpart B1B, confirming that existing trees in a perimeter buffer shall not count towards the forest preservation calculations in the rural area as follows. And again, this is a sentence added at the end of that. Pre-existing woodlands located in the perimeter buffer shall not be included in this percentage. And that's in the paragraph that deals with the rural area.
Okay. Pleasure of council on motion number 7.
Motion to approve.
Motion, Mr. McCarron.
Second.
Second, Mr. Lloyd. Any questions? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron?
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd?
Yes.
Kernabout?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried.
So this next one deals with what we're talking about, the preservation of, among other things, contiguous forest. This was a rewording of what was in the introduced ordinance to make it more clear regarding the existing forest that has a priority for preservation. So this one is, be it moved that the introduced ordinance be amended at Section 5 regarding Section 115-194.8 Forest Preservation at lines 518 to 531 to clarify the prioritization of certain types of tree preservation by rewording this section, subsection, parentheses 2, close parentheses, as follows. 2 in parentheses, the areas of forest that are contiguous with existing off-site forest are located in sensitive areas such as the 100-year floodplain, comma, or are located near or adjacent to perennial non-tidal rivers and streams or intermittent streams and their buffers, shall be considered a priority for retention and protection as part of the percentages set forth in subsections B1A and B above. Developments that seek to disturb or remove these areas of forest must comply with the waiver requirements of Developments that seek to disturb or remove these areas of forest must comply with the waiver requirements of Section C below.
Okay. Pleasure. Okay. Motion. Mr. Riley?
Second.
Second. Ms. Kernabout. Any questions? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron?
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd?
Yes.
Ms. Kernabout?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
This next one's really short, and it just fixes some numberings that were in the numbering errors that were in the introduced ordinance. Be it moved that the introduced ordinance be amended at Section 5 regarding Section 115-194.8 Forest Preservation at lines 533 and 540 to correct the numbering so that they now reflect subsections 3 in parentheses and 4 in parentheses.
Okay, pleasure of council.
Motion to approve.
Motion.
Second.
Mr. McCarron, second. Ms. Kernabout. Any questions? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron?
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd?
Yes.
Ms. Kernabout?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
So the next one, if you'll bear with me, is probably the longest one I have to read, because this is the one that dealt with mitigation of forest removal that created requirements that had to be satisfied to allow the mitigation to occur, and then talked about the type of mitigation that can occur. Now, you'll recall that as our discussions evolved, there was originally 3 types of mitigation that could occur: on-site mitigation, off-site mitigation, and a fee in lieu of the, you know, preserving the forest on the site. I understand from the last meeting that the fee in lieu is no longer on the table, so this motion strictly deals with on-site and off-site. So, and I'm going to proceed that way unless there's any comments.
Yeah, I do have a comment, and certainly as we read through this, I want everybody to remember, because this is something that some people feel is a way out, but I think it's important to look at this analytically. And some of the reasonings for fee in lieu, I don't feel were really represented or probably misrepresented when it was put in the paper. First, we have to recognize that this parcel is for sale, and fee in lieu and these are in the growth zone. You have to apply for a hardship. So first, the county's got to grant a hardship for any of these to take effect, and that is very hard, almost non-existent. We've seen that in the buffers, and that is something that just really doesn't happen. So in an ordinance where the buffers in the growth zone count, these are not 100,000-acre parcels. You're talking about maybe a 4 or 5 acre parcel that you apply for a hardship, and maybe your retention pond needs to go there, or some aspect of that just does not work. With this, yes, it is a good thing. We have preserved that piece of property. If they do not apply for the hardship, it's not suitable for residential with the forest preservation standards. So a lot of people would view that as a very good thing. We have just taken something off the market. This is not appropriate for residential development. But the reality of it is, with recent legislation, and really, we're in the growth zone, the demand has not changed. After we pass the comp plan, and this body will pass the comp plan very soon, a change of zone application will be by right in the growth zone. So you can go to C2 in the growth zone in areas we identify it's appropriate, and you do not need to have a hearing. So you're going to be able to go to a C2 application, and anybody can correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure I'm right. You can go get a C2 zoning change, not have a public hearing, and guess what you did? You just went and classified that piece of land as something that has zero forest preservation. So you did not preserve a single acre of forest. None. You just changed the use of that property. It's not suitable for residential in this instance. Guess what? I can put doctor's offices on it. It is still in the growth zone, and there is still demand. So while we view this and taking something like fee in lieu out, you really need to look at the implications of not including that in the growth zone, because there is nothing stopping the demand. What you're going to do is just change the use probably to something that has zero forest preservation aspect to it. So I just, as we look at these other options, I think we should keep that in mind. This is not a way out. This is a way to make sure that we do have a forest preservation aspect to it, because these are appropriate to the growth zone where there are other uses, and it's going to be easy to change to those other uses once we plant the pass the comp plan. So I, you know, in legislative actions, I think it's, we need to make sure we're looking at it analytically, not emotionally, and look at all the scenarios. And, you know, fee in lieu, that was described as a way out. I don't see it that way. That is a way to stop or to prevent a change of use to something that has zero protection. So that's my comment. As we move forward, I do see you have about 5 to 7 pages to read. So
yeah, I was glad that we had the conversation. That was the original, you know, reason that I, you know, wanted to talk this through and have the conversation, and to see if there was any merit there or not. I saw it potentially as a, you might call it a safety valve, you know, for a particular piece of property that, you know, wouldn't ordinarily fit in within our parameters very well. I'm wondering how many, I was at the place where I'm thinking there weren't that many properties that would really require special treatment like that. And so therefore, you know, I was ready to abandon the fee in lieu of. You've raised some interesting points this morning. I'm wondering if at this late date we should just proceed and then consider a revision at some point once this is played out for a while and we see how SB 23 impacts it. You know,
I'll add to it. Because I think it's good for people to speak their mind when they vote on something. I do think there's been a gross misunderstanding of what the fee in lieu, like what causes it to happen. I did some digging and some asking to find out what percentage, roughly speaking, do people apply for hardships. And stormwater retention ponds have been one of the reasons cited, but another one I thought was interesting was placement of utilities. Like there, on some parcels, there's only certain places that utilities are accessible through the parcel. And if that happens to be in a growth zone where there's trees, like to Steve's point, there's demand. You can't necessarily stop the demand. You know, I've said before, there's two ends of the extreme here. You know, stopping everything, and then there's floor on the accelerator for everything. And the happy medium down the middle is if you prioritize growth for growth areas and in another way preserve the rural areas. Like that is splitting that's splitting the baby on the issue, and so, you know, rather we realize gains for the land trust in these growth areas, that these few parcels that would get the hardship, it just makes sense to me. I mean, Gina found $500,000 for the ambulance services. How many more hundreds of thousands could you realize? And my number was never set. I you know, again, this gross misunderstanding or mischaracterization of the ordinance as if it was somehow lax. And that was, you know, never the way that I ever proffered it or envisioned it. That number was malleable. It could have been a $100,000 figure. But I think Steve raised an interesting point, and the last thing I'll say is SB 23 and House Bill 450 introduces an interesting element to this, that we now will have no choice. There will be no provision to save trees anyway, and so we wouldn't even realize preservation or a profit for the cutting of those trees. I do think it's a shame, you know, this is the one chance we have to, as some would say, stick it to developers, as unfair as that may sound, or as great as that sounds. And now we'll realize nothing. So I do think it's a chance missed, but I can understand both sides.
Well, needless to say, I disagree with my colleagues, but I think at this point, I would be certainly open to another a moment when we might come back with some amendments to the past ordinance, if you want to have a discussion about the merits of fee in lieu of, or if I want to have a discussion about changing the definition of forest. I think we can do that. We can always come back and amend and have a discussion about these items. I'm willing to partake in those discussions. I think, though, at this time, we have come to a point where there's general, at least the last time we talked, we had some consensus, and I think we should go ahead, move forward with this, and then if you, my colleagues, feel strongly, come back with an amendment to the recently passed ordinance. We can always do that. I don't think this is our one and only time. You know, amendments are made all the time. We can do that. Otherwise, we're going to if we don't move forward with this, we're going to have to, I guess, postpone again till we resolve these issues. But I would rather go ahead with this, either agree to the mitigation proffered here or not, and then if you feel strongly about coming back at another time and adding fee in lieu of, we can do that.
I'm not trying to stall this. I just hope that
I think we need to move
clear
on.
Picture makes its way into the, makes its way into the, any stories that are written about this.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, I understand what you're saying.
Okay. Let's move on. Okay, Mr. Robertson.
Okay. So this one just deals with on-site mitigation, off-site mitigation. That's motion number 10. Be it moved that the introduced ordinance be amended at section 5 regarding section 115-194.8 forest preservation, starting at line 546, to add a process for waivers with standards mirroring resource buffers and separate the paths for on-site mitigation from a new off-site mitigation opportunity by deleting lines 546 through 611 in their entirety and replacing them with the following language. So this is going to take a little bit of time, so bear with me. C, mitigation of forest removal. The commission shall be authorized as part of the site plan review process to allow the removal of forest in excess of the amounts permitted under section 115-194.8b, but only upon the satisfaction of all of the following conditions by the commission. One, that special conditions or circumstances exist that are peculiar to the land and that a little enforcement of a specific requirement of this section would result in an unwarranted hardship. Two, in parentheses, that the request to remove forest is not based upon conditions or circumstances which are, A, in parentheses, the result of actions by the applicant, B, in parentheses, the number of housing units on the property, C, in parentheses, financial or economic considerations, nor D, any condition related to land or building use, either permitted or non-conforming on any neighboring property. Three, in parentheses, that the removal of the excess forest and the mitigation set forth below are in harmony with the general spirit and intent of this section and any subsequent regulations. Upon satisfaction of the foregoing conditions, an applicant shall be entitled to mitigate the removal of excess forest through on-site or off-site means and methods as follows. On-site mitigation. An applicant may mitigate the approved removal of forest in excess of the amounts permitted under Section 115-194.8b by complying with the following requirements. A, in parentheses, a mitigation plan shall be prepared by a licensed landscape architect, certified arborist, licensed forester, or forester designated by the Society of American Foresters as a certified forester. The mitigation plan shall include the following information and shall also comply with the requirements of subparagraph D in parentheses below. Little I, a table that lists the proposed values of the following in square feet. A, the gross forest area on the entire property prior to an application for development being filed with the department. B, the area of forest to be protected and preserved on the entire property. And C, the area of forest that the applicant proposes to remove. Two little I's, a site plan with clear graphic indication of the forest drawn to scale, showing the forest to be protected and the forest to be removed. B, in parentheses, if the application is located in a growth area as described within the land use element and is shown on the future land use map of the adopted Sussex County Comprehensive Plan, then the forest area cleared in excess of the amounts permitted under sections 115-194.8b shall be reforested in accordance with the mitigation plan in an amount equal to 2.0 times the forest area cleared in excess of the amount required to be preserved under section 115-194.8b, parentheses, measured to the nearest square foot, close parentheses. Pre-existing woodlands located in the perimeter buffer shall be included in this percentage. C, in parentheses, if the application is located in a rural area as described within the land use element and is shown on the future land use map of the adopted Sussex County Comprehensive Plan, then the forest area cleared in excess of the amounts permitted under section 115-194.8b shall be reforested in accordance with the mitigation plan in an amount equal to 2.5 times the forest area cleared in excess of the amount required to be preserved under section 115-194.8b, parentheses, measured to the nearest square foot, close parentheses. Pre-existing woodlands located in the perimeter buffer shall not be included in this percentage. D, the mitigation plan shall demonstrate reforestation that creates a biological community dominated by native trees and other woody plants that shall be planted at a minimum caliper of 2.5 inches for shade trees, 1.5 inches for ornamental trees, and 6-foot height for multi-stem and evergreen trees, and containing at least 100 live trees per acre, with at least 50% of those trees having the potential of attaining a 2-inch or greater diameter measured at 4.5 feet above the ground within 7 years. The mitigation plan shall demonstrate the location, spacing, height, and species of existing and new trees proposed to meet forest mitigation requirements. E, in parentheses, the mitigation plan shall provide the location, comma, protective tree fencing, comma, staking, or continuous ribbon installed along the entire edge of any reforested area, which shall also be installed on the site itself. All work conducted pursuant to this subsection shall comply with the American National Standard Institute, parentheses ANSI, A300 standards. Off-site mitigation. An applicant may mitigate the approved removal of forest in excess of the amounts permitted under section 115-194.8b by complying with the following requirements. A, the preserved or replanted forest shall be located in the same 12-digit hydrologic unit code as defined by the United States Geological Survey as the development. B, in parentheses, any off-site preserved forest shall be assessed by a licensed landscape architect, certified arborist, licensed forester, or forester designated by the Society of American Foresters as a certified forester to determine the condition and quality of the off-site forest area that is proposed to be protected. C, any off-site replanted forest shall require a mitigation plan as described above. D, the preserved or replanted forest shall be protected in perpetuity by a conservation easement in favor of Sussex County or a conservation organized approved by the director, and the preserved or replanted forest shall not be used to satisfy these requirements for future preservation or if the off-site property is developed in the future. And that's that motion.
Okay. I will...
That all.
Pleasure of counsel. Motion, Mr. Lloyd.
Well, didn't hear half of that.
Yeah. Okay, we have a motion on the floor.
Second,
Mr. McCarron. Any questions? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron.
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd?
Yes.
Ms. Grunebaum?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Okay, the next motion deals with the 5-year look back that we've talked about. So be it moved that the introduced ordinance be amended to Section 5 regarding Section 115-194.8 Forest Preservation starting at line 612 to add a new requirement for a 5-year look back by inserting a new subsection D and relettering the following subsections. So subsection D, in the event that any area of forest within the property to be subdivided was removed, harvested, cleared, or grubbed within 5 years prior to the date of application to the commission, as determined by the director or his or her designee, the applicant shall comply with the on-site mitigation or off-site mitigation requirements of subsection C herein for the forest that was removed, harvested, cleared, or grubbed, and the subdivision shall not be issued a notice to proceed for a period of 5 years from the date that the forest on the property was cleared, harvested, or grubbed. It shall be the applicant's responsibility to submit evidence such as a forest stand delineation as of the date the forest was removed, demonstrating the condition of the property at the time of removal.
Okay, pleasure of counsel.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Riley.
Second.
Second, Mr. McCarron. Any questions? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron.
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd.
Yes.
Ms. Grunebaum.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
This particular motion reminds me of really what almost got this conversation started probably like 6 years ago, 4 years ago maybe, in a particular piece of land down in District 4. It got cleared
you know, and it started this whole conversation off, which then led to the land use working group, and here we are today, so finally landing it. So I vote yes.
I also vote yes. Motion carried.
Okay, the next one should be another uncontroversial one. Not that these have been controversial, but it's just renumbering a couple of numbers in it. Motion number 12, be it moved that the introduced ordinance be amended at Section 5 regarding Section 115-194.8, Forest Preservation at lines 628 and 635, and let me read that, at lines 628 and 635, to correct the numbering so that they now reflect subsections 3 in parentheses and 4 in parentheses.
Okay, pleasure of council.
Move to adopt.
Motion, Mr. Lloyd.
Second.
Second, Ms. Gruenbaum. Any questions? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarr.
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd.
Yes.
Ms. Gruenbaum.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
The last one just corrects the amount paid for violations and penalties. It was a mathematical correction. It's motion number 13. Be it moved that the introduced ordinance be amended at Section 5 regarding Section 115-194.8, Forest Preservation at line 659, relettered as subsection F, quote, violations and penalties, close quote, to revise the dollar amount identified therein from $4.356 per square foot to $1 per square foot.
Okay, pleasure of council.
This is the one I'm going to ask Mr. Lawson to explain.
Yeah, maybe a little more explanation.
This was the one. So it had to do with forest removal, and let me find the line on it. Bear with me. There was, just when it was introduced, there was just a mathematical change on that. It said, let me find the sentence. For unauthorized forest removal, they shall pay a fine equal to the forest area, quote, or excuse me, shall pay a fine equal to the forest area parentheses measured to the nearest square foot, close parentheses, damaged or disturbed, multiplied by $4.356 per square foot. And that was based on the number of square feet in the acre, I think.
Is this a fee in lieu of? This is what?
No. This is penalties. This is if it's all unauthorized removal.
Missed that. Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
And if I may, we put the incorrect number in the original introduced ordinance at $4.356. So thinking that we would get to $43,000 an acre fine, I should have contacted our finance director and made a better understanding of the math before we inserted the number. However, when we go to a dollar a square foot, that equals $43,000. An acre of a fine, which is in line with all the other fines that we have in the other sections of the code related to forest preservation buffers and resource buffers.
Enough to get their attention.
It clears it up, too.
And I mean, this is the kind of scenario, like you have a subdivision, you know, that's built or whatever, and somebody goes and, you know, clear cuts part of the forest after the fact, there would be fines that we could
Right.
For.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay, pleasure of council.
Did we determine where that money goes, if it
as introduced in the ordinance, it goes in the county's open space fund.
Your open space fund. So
that's in the ordinance now. This just changed the dollar amount.
Gotcha.
Where it goes is in the ordinance is not changed.
Yep.
Okay. Pleasure of council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Ms. Riley.
Second.
Second, Mr. McCarr. Any questions? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarr.
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd.
Yes.
Ms. Gruenbaum.
I like the $4. I vote yes.
That would be a lot.
Mr. Riley.
I vote yes.
I vote yes. Also, motion carried.
Okay, last one. And this one I need some guidance on. As this has to do with the effective date. And we talked.
Careful what you ask for.
Yeah, right. So, as introduced, the ordinance takes effect upon 6 months from the date of adoption by Sussex County Council, provided that it shall not apply to any completed applications on file with the Office of Planning and Zoning. So, as introduced, 6 months, you know, grace period, essentially. There was discussion initially, I think, in the last meeting about converting that to making it effective immediately, except for any applications that are on file with the Office of Planning and Zoning. And then I've since heard that there may be a meeting in the middle of 3 months from the date of adoption, except for any applications that are on file.
I think Ms. Gruenbaum might have some comments on that.
Oh, I do? No, I'm sorry.
When it comes to timing.
Yeah, I don't. Look, we've been debating this for I don't even know how many months. So there's been a lot of forewarning that this is coming. But more importantly, I don't understand the reason for making this effective date any different than the other ordinances we have introduced and passed. It just makes it the same. It seems to me it was good for the other two. It's good for this one. So that just seemed logical to me.
Are you referring to 3 months?
No, I'm referring to immediate. That's
okay.
All the other ordinances are immediate. This just brings it in line with the other ordinances. I haven't heard or seen a reason to make that difference. So
I can't cite any given one other than we can point to recent legislation with no enactment period that they probably didn't understand the repercussions either at the state level. 6 months is likely too long to go out and get elevations and survey a property and get a site plan drawn up for submission. I don't think it cannot be done in 3 months. So I think at 3 months, to avoid a rush, 3 months is certainly different than a 6 month.
I'm not sure. Six month waiting period.
I'm in favor of speeding up the timeline. I think 3 months is strikes a balance between what's been the precedent. I have a different understanding. I thought it was 6 months was the standard for newly adopted ordinances. I'm in favor of speeding that up. Enforcement to 3 months on account of the, I think of everybody. I'm going to give a broader statement to that, but I'm specifically thinking of the people who are 5 to 10 market rate houses surrounding a town who are trying to build something. If they have to amend their site plan to accommodate for this that close to submittal, I don't want to leave people like that. I guess I'm too business friendly to leave people out in the cold like that. And I think there's two sides of the extreme in any case. So to me, going down the middle is what I'm a fan of, 3 months.
Okay.
I can read the 3 months and see if there's a second and 3 votes in favor of that. And depending on that goes, we can revisit it for keeping it 6 months or,
if you think that's the best way we should do it.
Well, I don't know if there's the best way. That's one way to do it. Well, let's see how it goes. Okay. I'm going to have to do this a little bit on the fly. So it's
Vince, could I suggest a different pathway? Because
sure.
I'll just say that if we start with 3 months and I'm sorry, let me think this through a second. If we start with the change that's presented here and that doesn't go, then we can go to the 3 months before.
Well, I can work backwards from effective immediately, and if that doesn't go, then 3 months.
Yeah, yeah. I think that makes it. Yeah.
Are we down to making motions at this point?
I was going to just make the motion.
He'll make the motion.
Read it.
Immediately to start with.
Yeah.
I'm asking, can we make motions?
Make amendments.
Sure. Yeah. Right, I'm just reading motions. You all have.
I'd like to make a motion to do it at 3 months.
Okay.
That would be my motion.
Okay.
Well, can I just put that in the form of a motion just so it's clear?
Please.
Ordinance. So, based on that, be it moved that the introduced ordinance be amended at Section 8, effective date, line 783, to revise the effective date so that it now states as follows. This ordinance shall take effect upon 6, and then this ordinance shall take effect upon 3, parentheses 3, months from the date of adoption by Sussex County Council, provided, however, comma, that it shall not apply to any completed applications on file with the Sussex County Office of Planning and Zoning. So 3 months.
Okay. Pleasure of council.
That was a motion. Second.
Okay. Motion by Mr. Lloyd to make this effective in 3 months and seconded by Mr. McCarron. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Are there any other questions? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron?
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd?
Yes, with a caveat. Okay. I had some council member comments, but I think it's appropriate that I add them in here, if that's all right, Mr. President.
Go ahead.
So there's been a lot of debate around growth in Sussex County that gets framed as if you have to pick a side. You're either for growth or you're against it. You're either for trees or you're against them. You're either for property rights or you're for preservation. You're either pro-business or you want to shut the door behind you. However, I don't think any of those choices are actually real. And I want to add something else. I'm increasingly seeing rhetoric that assumes the worst motives of people in public office. Suggestions that council members are somehow on the take if they support growth, but just as quickly, disparaging comments about people who'd prefer to see everything freeze in place. And I think both those caricatures live in a vacuum, and I don't think it is reality. I can tell you from my short tenure, they don't reflect the reality of government, of a county that's growing, where every decision has consequences for property owners, taxpayers, farmers, businesses, families, infrastructure, and the character of the community itself. If we made every person sitting in this room happy today, we'd be forgetting about 10,000 people that didn't show up here today who would be sad and in despair. So on the campaign specifically, but even now as I sit in people's living room and talk to them, the people on either side I don't believe are corrupt, foolish, or even irrational. I think that everybody is just looking at different parts of the same problem. And our responsibility as council, as I understand it, is to understand every element of it. I think the harder job of government is to hold two things in our head at the same time. We can believe strongly in property rights and still understand that some things, once lost, don't come back in our lifetime. We can welcome growth and still insist that growth happen in a way that doesn't erase the character of the very character people moved here to be a part of. We can respect builders and farmers and landowners while also respecting the people who live next door, who drive the roads, who send their kids to schools, and depend on our fire companies and EMS system. And frankly, that is the counsel I've tried to bring to this council, this perspective I've tried to bring to this council. And so I don't think the answer to every problem is more regulation, and I don't think the answer to every problem is to do nothing. I really think sometimes leadership is being willing to disappoint both sides a little bit in order to get something right. And frankly, I think that's what's happened here. This ordinance is not about freezing Sussex County in time. We couldn't even do that if we wanted to. It's about deciding what kind of Sussex County we want to hand to the next generation. If every field became a subdivision, if every wooded tract disappears, if every road becomes overwhelmed, then growth may have succeeded on paper while Sussex County itself lost something. And at the same time, if we regulate people so heavily that families can't use their land, farmers lose value, and responsible investment leaves, then we failed the county in an entirely different way. And so balance matters, and I think today we've moved closer to striking that balance. So I vote yes.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to go for 3 months for this to take effect. Okay, any other questions? If not, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron?
They voted.
Oh, I'll reaffirm a yes vote.
You've already, you already have a vote. Okay.
Yes. And I affirm my yes vote.
You know, I appreciate my colleague's homily, and I do agree that my favorite word when I was running about balance. It's not appropriate to be stringently, I don't think, for or against anything. I think there's always the balance to be found in that. So I think largely our job is to find that balance. Having said that, I do not hear a compelling reason for giving the 3 month window for taking down forests. So I have, and again, the whole notion is to make this consistent with the other ordinances. In past councils, 6 months, you're right, has been the tradition. But we passed two ordinances already with effective immediately. And I do not see why this one shouldn't follow suit. So I vote no on the 3 months.
Okay, Mr. Riley.
I want to applaud the comments of Councilman Lloyd. I think that was very well said. It's not a binary choice between pro this or anti that. It is very much, as Councilwoman Grunenbaum said, about finding the correct balance. I think, several years from now, this point about whether it starts today or tomorrow or 3 months or 6 months will be forgotten, and what will be remembered is that this council passed a tree or forest preservation ordinance, and I believe that's a good thing. And I think 3 months is a fair balance, so I'll vote yes.
Okay, well, I've heard compelling reasons on both sides, and I don't I just don't understand, if we have an ordinance, why not make it effective immediately? And I vote no. Motion is carried to pass it, to let it go for 3 months.
That is the last motion to amend that I had, so I think, Mr. Moore, what I need to do is read the short title again.
Read the short title again as amended by this council.
Okay. It again is ordinance number 26-05, an ordinance to amend Chapter 99, Article 1, 3, and 5, Section 99-5, Definitions, Section 99-21A, Perimeter Buffers, and Section 99-26, Information to be Shown, and Chapter 115, Articles 1, 25, and 28, Section 115-4, Definitions and Word Usage, and Section 115-221, Final Site Plan Requirements, and by adding new Section 115-194.8, Forest Preservation, and Section 115-194.9, Tree Planting Requirements as amended.
Okay. Pleasure of council.
Move to adopt.
Motion, Mr. Lloyd.
Second.
Second, Mr. McCarron. Any questions? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron.
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd.
Yes.
Ms. Birnbaum.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
As I said earlier, this has been a long time coming for Councilman Hudson and I. Really extending back several years, even before the previous election. And I'm glad to see it finally in its final completed form. Whether it needs to be adjusted and amended as we go forward, we will continue to look at it and see how it performs, and we can improve it if need be. But I think this is a milestone. I think this is a really important piece of legislation that we can say we were there. So my vote's yes.
I agree with the prior comments, and I vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you. Just before I go, I'd be remiss if I didn't thank. There's been a lot of people involved in this. We had the Land Use Reform Working Group, which was a broad-based working group that spent a lot of time working on those recommendations, and this was really one of the largest ones that came out of that. We also involved our state forester. As you know, he came and spoke to you all. He was also involved behind the scenes. Certainly, Mr. Whitehouse and Mr. Lawson and staff have really been involved. And this has been a real collaborative effort, including the public hearings that we've had and the direction from planning and zoning and you all. So thank you very much for that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your work.
A lot of work.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Robinson.
Okay, next.
Mr. Whitehouse, thank you.
Next grant request, Ms. Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. President. There's one grant request.